Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4 here in Nashville, taking you through this beautiful Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've been talking a lot about Tom Brady and the rumors swirling about out there in New England. And to help us talk more about that, we bring in the expert on the situation, Karen Garrigan, Patriots beat columnist for the Boston Herald. Karen, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Well, it is the hot topic. I was going to say du jour, but it's kind of every day now.
It is. It is every day now. And as you might imagine, Karen, there is a Tom Brady hysteria that's taking place around here in Nashville with the rumors out there that the Titans could be a potential target for Brady if he decides to enter free agency. What's the vibe like up in the New England area right now regarding the situation? How worried are Patriots fans that Tom Brady might actually leave?
I think that they are now kind of starting to worry because it's getting closer. And, you know, I wrote today that they're still really, Bill Belichick still hasn't even reached out to say, hey. I think, and most of the, I don't want to say scuttlebutt is that right now he's headed out the door. So, again, I think people in New England will believe it when they see it. It's kind of denial right now. But, again, even if it's grim right now, I wouldn't totally close the door on him coming back.
Karen, you mentioned the apparent lack of communication between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And I think you tweeted out yesterday that a source has told you it's not looking good in that area. How much is this Belichick and the Patriots waiting on the new CBA, maybe what the market value is for Tom Brady? And how much is it that just things may be unraveling here between the relationship between Brady and the Patriots?
Well, I think the CBA, sorry, got a frog in my throat.
That's okay.
Plays into it. I think it plays into every deal right now, because either you're operating on a final year CBA, which kind of takes things away from you, or you have a new CBA, and then you have new revenues, a new radio deal, new money coming in. the salary cap could expand. I mean, there's just a lot of different things in play. I think when it comes to Brady, or say any veteran, older type player, they're able to hide cap money with these voidable year type things. If they have to go by the old CBA, they won't be able to hide money, or basically spread out a cap hit as well without the ability to have those voidable years.
Now, the Patriots can jump as favorites in this negotiation, just, in my opinion, by simply getting Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady in the same room, airing out grievances, coming into an agreement, because that is ultimately who Tom Brady knows. Everything else is an unknown factor with the other 31 NFL teams. What would that conversation look like from both ends, in your opinion, if all three of those guys get into one room?
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that, if that happens. Well, I think Brady is at a point where, I mean, pretty much his entire career with the Patriots, he's basically had a team-friendly deal or something that's been helpful to the team so that they could get other needs or whatever, essentially build a championship. And I think the last couple years, you know, when he's wanted the extra years and not the balloon-type years or whatever. I mean, he legitimately wants to finish his career as a Patriot, but they want to go, and understandably, because of his age, 1 year at a time. Well, we'll see if you finally look like, you know, a 42-year-old as opposed to, you know, a legitimate NFL quarterback. So he thinks that it's like they, I don't want to say they owe him, but geez, you know, I've won 6 championships here. Can you help me out a little bit? And the cold, hard businessman in Bill Belichick isn't going to, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady and you've won these 6 championships. I'm going to do what's best for the Patriots, and that is to go a year at a time with you.
And Tom Brady's going to do what's best for Tom Brady in this situation as well. Karen, what's the biggest factor in your opinion? Is it a respect factor for Tom Brady? Because when you watch Tom versus Time, you certainly feel like there's more respect that Tom Brady could be given, at least from their side of the fence. And then you also have the fact that, you know, maybe Tom Brady needs more weapons in New England, or the fact that maybe, yeah, he just wants to try something new. Which of those three do you feel is more on Tom Brady's mind?
Well, if you're talking about the Patriots, I think respect and weapons are right up there. It's funny, we haven't even talked about money, but it is. Last year was miserable for him because he had a non-winning type of offense, or in his mind, they couldn't win with that offense, and he was pouting pretty much all year long because he knew when push came to shove that offense couldn't produce points, you know, if the defense, I would say faltered, but if, you know, some team got, you know, got a handle on the defense and scored points. And he doesn't want, I mean, what can we say? It wasn't fun for him. Even if they were winning because of the defense. So he just wants to be surrounded by a better cast. But the other thing is, in terms of a contract, he doesn't want to go a year at a time. He wants legitimate years to maybe a 2-year deal at this point, so that he doesn't have that fear that you know, they're going to trade him, dump him, or whatever.
Karen Gregan on the line with us from the Boston Herald. And Karen, last thing for you here. What's the backup plan, just for the sake of argument, if Brady does leave the Patriots? What's the backup plan for the Patriots if that happens? Is it a total rebuild? Is it the Jared Stidham show at that point? What do they do if Tom Brady leaves?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and I think that's what has Patriot fans most on edge or nervous, because, I mean, their only real visibility of Jared Stidham last year was him throwing a pick six against the Jets week 3. And like, he came on in a relief of a blowout. He threw a pick six and Tom Brady had to put his cleats back on and go out and finish the game. So fans don't know enough. It's hard to know if the Patriots think Jared Stidham is the next guy, or, I mean, what's out there for them? Do they take the guy, your guy, who got benched, Marcus Mariota? I mean, the options for them, I mean, and a lot of people are talking, a lot of whispers have them making a trade for Andy Dalton, who's 0 for the playoffs. So this type of thing has people in New England kind of on edge, let's say. But you know what? And Bill, they trust, too, so they figure he must have a plan.
Absolutely. One would think so. Karen, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Karen Gregan, Patriots beat columnist from the Boston Herald, has been our guest. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Karen.
Very interesting stuff there. And I do love that we were talking about, just kind of in a joking way, in the last segment.
She was listening.
She was. Marcus Mariota being the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year, potentially. I said that kind of as a joke, but I've thought about it for the last 10 minutes ever since I said it. That would be the most Bill Belichick thing of all time. If Brady leaves, Mariota goes there and he turns into a – can you imagine what this city would be like if Brady comes here and is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, if you can
Mariota goes to New England and lights it up in New England.
I mean, come on. If you can win 11 games with Matt Castle, I mean, what can you do with Marcus Mariota?
I know.
Don't we have a hunch that that Marcus Mariota is going to work out at his next stop, too?
I don't know if I'm willing to go there, but
I have a small hunch that it's going to work out, at least to the point where that team plays the Titans and he beats the Titans.
He beats them like in a playoff game?
Yes.
Can you imagine what it would be like if Brady ends up here and Mariota is the starting quarterback in New England? Now, that may be the most unlikely scenario I've ever tossed out in the history of a radio show, but I'm just saying that's the question I keep coming back to in this entire discussion with Tom Brady. What do the Patriots do if Tom Brady is not their quarterback? And at the end of the day, that might be the most important factor in all this, because Bill Belichick, I mean, he's a great coach. Obviously, he's built this roster to where they've been competitive for the past 20 years. Everybody gets that and understands that. He's not going to coach for that much longer, at least you wouldn't think. I mean, how much longer is Bill Belichick going to be the head coach in New England before he decides to retire? So do you want to tear it down and go through a total rebuild with Tom Brady not being there? Do you have that much confidence in Jared Stidham that maybe he is the guy? Like, that's what I keep coming back to in this discussion. What is plan B for the Patriots? And nobody really seems to know, because I think it's impossible to know at this point.
I'm almost willing to say it's not going to be Jared Stidham. I mean, they'll trade for a backup or maybe the 28th to 35th best quarterback in the league and make it work with them, or go through the NFL draft. As I mentioned, there are a ton of guys that, you know, there's six really good quarterbacks, in my opinion, that are first, second round worthy. The Patriots have the 23rd pick in this upcoming draft. You know what's going through Bill Belichick? You know, she said, in Bill Belichick we trust. What's going through his mind is, you know what, instead of paying Tom Brady $30 million, we're going to pay this other guy $7 million, and we got $23 million to disperse elsewhere and make this team just – even better defensively and maybe offensively with what they're looking to do, because, you know, they got Sony Michel, they got some young running backs. They would almost be the Baltimore Ravens before Lamar Jackson. They're going to win games ugly. They're going to win games on defense, and the quarterback doesn't have to win them games. And they could get to the playoffs in that division.
Yeah, I mean, that division is awful.
Would be the Bills right now. Subpar quarterback. Decent quarterback.
Good defense.
Really good elsewhere.
That's right.
And Bill Belichick, I think, is going to outsmart whoever else is on the other side. And they'll get back to the playoffs with a fighter's chance.
I mean, I don't know about a fighter's chance, but they'll be back in there. I think we all feel confident in that.
Yeah.
But are they really a Super Bowl threat at that point? Probably
fighter's
not.
Chance, like, not beating Patrick Mahomes. But, again, they'll get a home playoff game.
Never know. Going to be really interesting to continue to monitor this situation. We'll see what happens over the weekend. I'm sure a lot more rumors will come out at some point.
Yep.
I mean, it's been fascinating.
I'm here for him.
Yeah, fascinating to follow this story. When we come back, it was a big win last night for the Nashville Predators against the Calgary Flames. Can they keep that momentum up against Colorado on Saturday? Also, a really cool sports day tomorrow in our city in Nashville on Saturday. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Entertaining, to say the least, last night for the Nashville Predators. That was Predators forward and hero of the night, Mikael Granlund, talking after the game after he scored the game-tying goal to tie the game 3-3 with 0.1 seconds remaining on the clock. It literally is as close as you can get. And then scored the game-winning goal in overtime, I think a minute and 20 seconds into the overtime period. A sensational, like, two-minute stretch for Mikael Granlund last night to give the Predators 2 points. And now, if you're a Predators fan, I think you feel totally different about this team. Not necessarily based on last night alone, but just the way they've been trending over the course of the last couple weeks. I think now they're 6-1-1 in their last 8 games. They're putting points together with regularity now. And to come back and win that game last night in that way was so impressive to watch.
And won 10 of their last 14, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's – I certainly didn't predict that at any point of this season, coaching change or not, or what they did at the trade deadline or not, just based off the way they were playing. And, again, it's a long season. I get that. It's 82 games. But, I mean, here we are. I mean, they're – as – Who said it? It was Rocco Grimaldi. Who cares if you're in the playoffs right now or not? Preds are in the playoffs. it matters when game 82 ends, are you in there or not? And that's kind of the approach this team has taken.
Johnny from White House texts in and says, extend Granlund right now. It is funny to watch this year because there was a point not that long ago, probably about a month, month and a half ago, where you looked at Mikael Granlund, his contract expires at the end of this year. We were trying to figure out whether or not the Predators were going to trade him at the deadline. And now, you know, we just kind of assumed back then that there's no way he's coming back next year. There's no way that he's going to sign here in Nashville with how he's been used, the production he hasn't had. There's no way the Predators are going to want to sign him based off of the production that they've gotten from him. And now he's with 11 goals since John Hines has taken over as head coach. He looks like the player they thought they were getting last year at the deadline. And if you're David Poile, you might have to consider trying to figure out a way to make this work because he's certainly playing well right now. And I just kind of chalked it up as a lost cause in terms of the discussion of having Granlund sign back here next year, just from where the Predators are in a salary cap position. And don't get me wrong, it's still going to be really difficult for them to accomplish that. But the more this happens, the more games that go by that he is as productive as he's been, if you're David Poile, you may in the back of your mind have to start considering and figuring out ways to make this work from a salary cap standpoint.
Yeah, his stock is rising, and this certainly has to be the best stretch of his career, right? I mean, 11 points since the coaching change. I mean, for a player like him, that's about as good of a stretch as you can ask for. And he's a spark plug. Like, he's an energy guy. You kind of know what you're getting out of him every single night, a guy that you need in the playoffs. Yeah, it's going to be tough, and how many times do we do the, you know, Marcus Mariota, if he plays good, he's coming back, like, it's just way too early to predict, but if you can afford him and this is the kind of Mikael Granlund that you're going to continue to get, yeah, why not bring him back next year? Because, you know, the grass isn't always green on the other side, and Nashville tends to keep a lot of guys here, especially with, as we mentioned, the Ed City.
Melissa tweets into us and says the mental mojo is coming back for the Preds. Last night was crazy. We talked a little bit about that earlier, the mentality of this team. It does seem like it's starting to come back and get to a place where no matter what happens in a game, no matter what bad situation gets tossed their way, they're able to respond to it. Not always going to win when that happens, but at least you give the right response and give yourself a chance to claw back. Because let's be honest, earlier this season, they weren't even giving themselves a chance to claw back in games like this. If something like that would have happened last night, earlier this season in November or December, I mean, this team would have been buried at that point.
Are you seeing a difference in the fans' perspective as well? Because I know that they expressed their displeasure with the team early in the season. Do they have the feel as well that they're
I think they're certainly starting to, for sure. I mean, I think – I don't know if they what their feelings are in terms of why or what kind of a run they think this team can go on, what that means in terms of how deep the playoff run is. But this time about a month, month and a half ago, I mean, there was virtually no confidence in this team from the fan base, and understandably so. Right. I mean, they had not earned any confidence so far this season. They've started to dig their way out of that. And as I said before, maybe the most encouraging thing for a Predators fan is they're finding ways to win right now. They're finding ways to get points. There's still another couple of levels I think this group can get to. Forsberg is not producing right now, even though he had an assist last night on Granlund's goal. That was very important. Johansson's not producing right now at the level we've grown accustomed to. Duchesne as well. Arvidsson. I mean, that's a gigantic step this team can still take if all of those guys start to get rolling and produce. So I think there is cautious optimism right now among the Predators fan base. That'd probably be the best way I would describe it.
What's stopping Duchesne? He's missing close, though.
He is. I mean, he hit the post last night. I mean, he was really close to scoring last night, assisted on Granlund's overtime winner. So it's not like he's out there and he's just invisible all the time.
Because of all the free agents that come here, I pictured him as like, yeah, there's going to be no struggle.
He started the season, I mean, he had 10 points in like his first five games or something like that. So there wasn't much of a struggle. I think some of it is just puck luck. I mean, last night he beat the goalie clean and just caught the edge of the post there and it bounced its way. I mean, the entire arena thought he scored. I mean, the fans were up, the goal horn went off, everything went off. It was hilarious. But I think there's just getting to those difficult areas, the middle of the ice, more often. He's not doing that quite enough for my liking. So there's still another step, I think, that he and Forsberg and Johansson and Arvidsson could take in that area. You'll be amazed when you get to the harder areas of the ice, your production starts to ramp up a little bit. And case in point, Mikael Granlund, where was he last night when he scored that goal to tie the game?
Yeah.
Pretty much in the crease. That's where you got to be. It's a really interesting weekend this weekend in Nashville. The Preds play against Colorado tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. But a new franchise officially launches their season tomorrow. Nashville SC hosting an MLS game, a regular season MLS game in Nashville for the first time, taking on Atlanta United. Nashville SC coach Gary Smith is going to join us at 7:30 to talk about that. But, Justin, I'm really excited to see the response. I mean, over 50,000 tickets have been sold. That's the expected attendance tomorrow, and obviously that could continue to rise as we go through the next 36 hours here before kickoff. And I'm just so excited to watch a new era of Nashville sports officially get underway tomorrow.
Yeah, it's now the third professional team here in Nashville. And listen, you see Nashville and you see the new, young, vibrant people that are moving here that have an NFL team, might not have a soccer team. I might be in the minority in this. I think soccer works here, and I think it's
off to a hot start. Oh, I don't think you're in the minority at all.
You don't think so?
No.
Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. I see a ton of people, even in Murfreesboro where I live, that are all about soccer. I mean, and just the way that Nashville SC reaches out to these high schools and these club teams, like, it's just – it's not going to be 50,000 at every game, but, man, I have a good feeling about this. I think as far as, you know – soccer is just an incredibly popular sport in America, and I think the fan experience with, you know, the singing, the chanting, everything pregame, everything postgame, and the sense of community, I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to be big time, and I'm here for it. I'm excited for it.
And selfishly, I'm upset that they're playing at the same time tomorrow. I mean, the Predators are starting an hour earlier at 6 o'clock, Nashville SC kicking off at 7 o'clock, and selfishly, my job requires me to be at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will be fired. But I am interested to see how they're able to handle their opening game. There's going to be a lot of emotion in that building. The fan base is going to be really fired up, really excited. I would expect there's at least a decent crowd traveling from Atlanta just because of the proximity. So I think that could be really fun, the beginning of a new rivalry in the MLS. I'm interested to see what the team looks like, how they want to play, and whether or not they can play with this Atlanta United team, who is very, very good, very quickly into their MLS tenure as well, won the MLS Cup in their second year as a franchise. So, obviously, I think just from a geographical standpoint, this could be the beginning of a pretty nice and heated rivalry between Nashville SC and Atlanta United. Really excited to see that environment tomorrow at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, and I don't see why it can't be, you know, a pretty good rivalry, at least to begin, just based off the geography. The geography.
Look at you.
This is what we got
out of our MTSU education. Very much. Love it.
So
we went to college together.
So you're in the same boat, the same class, right?
Absolutely.
But yes, I think it's going to be a great crowd tomorrow. And you know, they got a pretty good back line. I'll say
they
that. They did very good in the preseason part of their schedule as far as getting some wins against some pretty quality opponents. Now, you know, who plays and all that.
Preseason,
you can kind of get into. But if we've learned anything in sports lately, expansion teams, new teams on the rise, they can win instantly. And I think the way that this franchise is putting money into their field, onto the field and product and just the whole nine yards, I see them doing pretty decently, at least to start. I don't have super low expectations based off what they put together.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach. We'll talk about opening weekend in the MLS for Nashville SC. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4, and it's an incredible weekend in our city in terms of sports. A big Preds game tomorrow. But it's the dawn of a new era here in Nashville. MLS officially kicks off tomorrow against Atlanta United. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in Nashville SC head coach Gary Smith. Gary, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Gary, this has been such a long process and a long time coming for you guys here in Nashville. You've gone through two USL seasons. How excited are you to finally get things kicked off this weekend for real for your fans on Saturday night?
Well, as you say, it's been in the making for a good while now. There's been a tremendous amount of work that's gone on behind the scenes, both building the actual group on the field. And of course, you know, all of the work that goes into piecing together a brand new franchise. Everyone's absolutely pumped to have the kickoff time come around tomorrow and just see that stadium as almost filled to the brim with everyone, you know, so emotional about the first game of the new MLS season.
Gary, how encouraging is it to see, as you said, I mean, over 50,000 people are going to be there tomorrow for the game. What have you learned about the way this city has supported soccer, even in the USL, but now especially as you move into MLS?
The last 2 years, the supporters group and the type of fan base that we've had at First Tennessee Park was phenomenal. You know, it was a real wonderful connection, as I've said numerous times, between the supporters and the players. It created such a wonderful environment there for the group to play and to try and express themselves. Now, it's certainly going to be a different proposition with so many fans and such a big arena to play in. But the challenge has to be, you know, can we get a product on the field and a team that are going to play with the type of passion and energy that we've seen in the past? I believe so. The players have started to show all the signs of a group that I know the Nashvillians can get behind. And with such a big crowd, our sole aim really at the weekend is to make sure we get off to a really good start and we can give this big group of fans something really to cheer about.
Gary, how often, athletes and coaches steadily visualize, success and what they're going to do on the field. How often have you thought of tomorrow in the 2 years that you've been here in Nashville as far as what the day is going to be like and what it's going to mean for this franchise? Because it's not only history for this franchise, it's history for the sports in Nashville.
Listen, there's an awful lot of time spent wondering how the game's going to go and certainly through pre-season trying to work out what the team's going to be and what we'll look like. And they're the small pieces that just run around for, any given match day. But as far as the historical value of the day tomorrow, I think it's difficult, certainly for me personally, to really appreciate fully what this is all about. This is a historical day, and this franchise will be here a lot longer after me now. That there'll be games, results, there'll be excitement, and there'll be sadness in those same results. There'll be things that go on in games that build and grow, and over the course of decades now, it'll be written down in the history book. So it is a fabulous day. I'm very, very proud to be part of it. And as I've said, I'd just like to make sure that we get off to a good start and everyone can write that in the history books as being a very positive and exciting day.
The fans are going to enjoy it. Everyone surrounding it is going to enjoy it. But I imagine you have tunnel vision and your players as well to go out and get a good start and get a win. Is there a way pregame, postgame, sometime during tomorrow that you're going to encourage maybe your players and even find a time yourself to smell the roses and enjoy that day that you just mentioned?
Well, I think that's a good point. It's always difficult. I certainly have found it tough in the past to just look around and appreciate the surroundings and appreciate exactly the position you're in. I would imagine the players likewise, if they're in that 18-man squad, getting ready for big day, tough opponent, tough test. I think that's always a tough one to take yourself out of that and just sort of elevate yourself above it and say, enjoy it. Make sure you get the most out of this. With a little bit more experience now, I'd like to think I can. The likelihood is I won't. But if we get a good result, for sure, I'll watch the game again. and I'll certainly view it in a very, very different way, knowing the result and being able to savor it a little bit more after the event.
Nashville SC coach Gary Smith on the line with us. Gary, what did you learn about your group in the preseason? And if I were to ask you what you want the identity of this club to be, what would your answer be?
Well, I think the first thing that I learned about the group is that, you know, we spend an awful lot of time trying to investigate these individuals, the personalities of the players, not just the quality of the players. And I think we've found already that this is a very determined and spirited group. They've come together very well, very quickly. The personalities have gelled well. And the work on the field is predominantly the work that needs, you know, focusing on now rather than, you know, bringing those players together as people. And that's as big a challenge in some places. You know, I forgot the second half of the question.
Just the identity you want your team to play with.
Yeah, sorry. It's early and my brain's still a little
that's
bit
okay. It's early for all of us.
I know you guys get up a little bit earlier than this, but as far as the identity of the group, I firmly believe, having been in the city for 2-3 years now, you know, the fans want to see a positive and proactive team, a side that's going to be exciting to watch, but also be very competitive. You know, we've been a winning team, and I certainly want to try and stay on that track. It will be probably the toughest task I've had to keep a team on that track, given our first year and the challenge in front of us. But I think if this group can be as determined and as spirited as I've seen them, show the type of balance that we've already seen in pre-season, and make sure that the full focus is on, you know, really showing energy and positivity in pretty much all facets of our game, I don't think we'll go far wrong. I said at the start of 17, when I walked into the city, I wanted to make the fans proud to come and watch the team play. And I'll make the same statement. You know, I've always wanted to put teams on the field that make the fans proud, and I think we're on the right track at the moment.
Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach, joins us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, a inaugural game tomorrow for the MLS team against Atlanta. Gary, there's so many signs here that says Nashville's going to work. Soccer is going to work here in Nashville. What have you seen to make you think it's here to stay, and I can't wait to see, you know, it fully rise up to its full potential?
Well, I think as you look across the spectrum of big games and big moments that have already occurred for soccer in the city, you know, we can go back as far as Gold Cup and I think the ICC, where there were, you know, records set for fans watching the national side and two Premier League teams. If you see how the city got behind the USL side, of course, a level below where we are at the moment. And now you see the type of support and the excitement and the passion that's wrapped around the very first game in MLS. You've got a graph and a line that's taken us a particular trajectory here. And I would expect that, again, if we as a team can show the type of passion that the fans are showing to come and watch the game, I think that connection will occur, you know, organically. And if it does, then I think you'll see, you know, that excitement and that graph line grow. And I can't even imagine where, you know, in the end we'll end up. But as you say, there's a wonderful feel around the city. And I think everyone's looking forward to being part of MLS tomorrow.
Gary, last thing for you here. You guys have had a huge acquisition a couple weeks ago in Walker Zimmerman. What do you expect him to bring to your group as you begin play tomorrow?
Well, we've already found that, you know, Walker's a leadership and a leader individual. He's a very strong and determined character. He comes with a great pedigree. Not only has he achieved in the regular season at LAFC, but of course a regular player for his national team. He's settled in incredibly well in a short period of time with the group. And I think there are, you know, a number of players already that lean on Walker as part of that pillar in the back line. And, you know, as I look forward, you see Walker and, you know, Daniel Lovitz, who has also represented his country, and Randall Liao and you know, Annie Mukhtar. These guys are going to be around for a good period of time, I hope, for the team. And it bodes well. You know, we're going to see some growing pains in the early stages, I'm sure. But if we can keep the majority of the group around and working towards the future, it's something for the fans to connect with and obviously the team to grow with. And, you know, that's certainly a nice vision as we kick off tomorrow.
Nashville SC Coach Gary Smith has been our guest. Gary, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning. We really appreciate it, and good luck tomorrow and the rest of this season.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Going to be so much fun to watch that kickoff tomorrow, MLS in Nashville, Nashville SC against Atlanta United. We'll get into that a little bit more next. Can that become Atlanta and Nashville a big-time rivalry in the MLS? Can that be something that Nashville SC can build on as they establish their footprint here in Nashville? We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Atlanta United head coach Frank DeBoer speaking on the rivalry that could form between Nashville SC and Atlanta United beginning tomorrow when they begin play at Nissan Stadium. And speaking of tomorrow, if you would like to go to the game tomorrow at Nissan Stadium, we got you covered. We've got a pair of tickets to give away. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025. Again, caller 5 at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the home opener for Nashville FC as they take on Atlanta United FC at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night. So hit the phones, 615-737-1025. Justin, I think when you take a look at what's been going on here, obviously the stadium situation was messy. We got through it. It's going to start. They're going to have an MLS stadium to play in the near future. Now that all of that is behind us, I think the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we've been able to really focus in and hone in on the season coming up. And it's just so exciting to be at this point, and I think they have a great opportunity against Atlanta United, who, as we mentioned in the last segment, they've been very successful to begin their franchise. They won the MLS Cup in their second year. They're a very good team once again this year. I think it's going to be challenging tomorrow for Nashville SC, but in a good way to see, just kind of test of a litmus test of where you are. I think this could be the start of a really cool rivalry in the MLS between Nashville SC and Atlanta United.
Absolutely, and we kind of like rivalries in sports. That's kind of what gets, you know, and you know, the – I don't know, just a good team versus the underdog. That's, you know, it sells papers. It's kind of the reason we play sports. And it's cool because Nashville SC, they can, as you mentioned, now focus on the actual, you know, thing they were brought here to do, soccer and training camp, not have to worry about all the politics on the outside and whatnot. And quite honestly, I think the franchise has done a pretty good job of keeping the players away from that and keeping them concentrated on what's most important, and that's, you know, the on-field product. Because, you know, I asked Gary Smith, what's going to work here? How does soccer work? It already has worked here. We're starting to see the fan support. What's really going to make it work more so is the actual on-field product to get people there. And as you mentioned, you know, Atlanta's going to bring some fans too. It's just going to be an incredible atmosphere tomorrow.
Well, and I think the other part of it is you have your hardcore soccer fan base, which, if you've never been to a Nashville SC game at the USL level, the fan base here is awesome. I mean, the supporter groups that they have, the hardcore support of the soccer team has been great, and that's awesome. I mean, you need to have that for sure. That's kind of the foundation of your fan base. The next step for building a fan base, and the Predators went through this exact same thing and have been able to do it, is getting that casual sports fan to become in and be invested. And in order to do that, yes, you need your team to be good. That's the most important thing. You need to be able to come to the arena or the stadium or the pitch and be able to watch your team be competitive on a game-by-game basis. That's the most important part. But you also need to do things in-game to make your team, your destination, your stadium an event. And by all indications, Nashville SC is going to put a lot of emphasis on doing that. I think the Predators in particular have done a fantastic job of that over the course of their franchise, really from the inception in the 98-99 season. That's going to be something that's really important for Nashville SC to grasp early on to get those casual fans. And the good news for them is I think Nashville as a city is in a much better position right now to grab those casual fans than they were when the Predators came in 98-99. I mean, it's a totally different city. Anybody who's lived here for any length of time knows how different Nashville is now than it was back in 98-99.
Absolutely, and I think soccer, it's not really hard to understand as much as, you know, hockey is for somebody that hasn't learned it, but there's almost that nuance, that new sport that almost is an attraction in and of itself. And I mentioned, you know, on-field play is going to help bring fans in, but it's also, like you mentioned, the in-game experience. The Predators have one of the best in the country, especially in hockey, at the in-game experience in the atmosphere. And a lot of that comes from just the Preds fan in a jersey sitting to the right or left of you and how much passion they have. It almost kind of invigorates the entire crowd. I think that's kind of what you're going to get with Nashville SC. There's just this the in-game atmosphere they're going to have to do good at, and just, you know, there's just this excitement of a new sport, a new franchise, something new to be a part of, which so many people in Nashville are always looking for. What's the new restaurant? What's the new this, new that? Starts tomorrow.
It does start tomorrow, and I'm excited to see just kind of how the season – look, we know the crowd's going to be great tomorrow. We know that the support's going to be awesome. What does it look like as the season continues to go on? I think that's when it's important that your product on the field also has to be competitive. And look, we get it. They're an expansion team. You know, unfairly, I think the last few years in sports, when you look at Atlanta United, what they were able to do in their second year winning a championship – the Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL made it to the Stanley Cup Final in their first year. I think now people kind of have this warped sense of expectation of what being an expansion team is, regardless of what sports it is. I think you need to be realistic this year. And Gary Smith kind of talked about it there. He said, look, we're going to do our best to be as competitive as we can possibly be. And I think they're going to win their fair share of games this year. But he also mentioned there's going to be some point along the way here where you do have growing pains. And the team has to find a way, I think, number one, to overcome those quickly, but number two, the fan base has to find a way to stick through that and battle through that. The Predators had to do the exact same thing. They didn't make the playoffs until, I think, 03-04 was the first season where they made the playoffs. I don't think it's going to take Nashville SC anywhere near that long to make the playoffs, but I'm just saying sometimes the way we've seen expansion teams kind of ascend very quickly in the last few years, I think it's warped sports fans' expectations of what an expansion team really is.
And I mentioned earlier, I think the players have done a good job of kind of compartmentalizing all the drama around the stadium and getting this, you know, franchise started and all the loopholes and challenges that come with it. But there are challenges to getting this thing off the ground. Like, you need to be more involved in the community, maybe more so than a franchise that's already established. You need to sign more autographs. You just need to do things here and there. Road trips are a little different. There's no set standard of this is how it was, because quite honestly, this is going to be the first of many for what they're doing. Those challenges are going to exist in themselves along with what they're trying to do on the field. But as Gary Smith said earlier this week, there's this 10 to 15% of extra juice that they're going to have tomorrow, almost the adrenaline rush that should help them out tomorrow, just because it is going to be that first game in a new uniform.
Yep.
In that stadium. You know, the first game, the first professional soccer game here for Nashville SC in Nashville, that's just going to be it's just going to be a different year. You're always going to remember it. As he said Saturday, it's just going to be different, and it's all about how they handle those the outside noise.
And I think going back to the rivalry aspect of it, I think back to when the Predators came in the NHL, and really the first rival they had was the Detroit Red Wings, and that was a rival that Predators fans really took seriously. Now, Detroit at that time was at the height of their powers. They were winning Stanley Cups. They were in the middle of a dynasty that they had really until about 2008, 2009, when they were eliminated by the Penguins in the Cup Final, and they've been kind of rebounding ever since then. I think Nashville SC, from a geographical standpoint, Atlanta can be that team. Now, they're not going to see each other a ton throughout an MLS season, obviously.
They're in different conferences,
and that doesn't help. And that's kind of the reason, you know, everybody, when the Atlanta Thrashers came back in the NHL, everybody thought, okay, well, here's another rival for Nashville. It's Nashville and Atlanta. But at that point, I mean, you saw each other once a year, maybe, if you were lucky, maybe twice a year. I mean, that time, during the NHL schedule, when the Thrashers were here in the early days, you didn't play every team every year. I mean, things have changed since then. So that part of it is tough. But I do think, just based on the schedule of the MLS, which obviously is not as many games as you play in hockey, each game is a little bit more meaningful,
yeah,
I think. And maybe NFL that goes and ask. Yeah, it's a little bit of an NFL feel. More games than the NFL, obviously, but a little bit of that feel to it. Maybe this rivalry, and this is the rivalry we point to because just of the geographical nature of it. I think it's important to have one to start.
Yeah.
For something for your fans to really grab onto. Yeah, I think that's important when you're starting a new team.
You need somebody to hate, dislike, and I mean, you look at some other candidates. You got Chicago.
Yep.
Columbus isn't too far.
No.
I know there's a Preds road trip in a couple of weeks or a couple of days for up there. Cincinnati isn't bad. But this is all in the Eastern Conference. Nashville SC is in the Western Conference. Houston, there's no Oilers type feel. I mean, there's no relation at all to the franchise. I am trying here, okay, Marquise? Portland Timbers, yeah, no. So we're trying. Atlanta needs to work tomorrow.
Well, and some of it's going to just come from what happens on the pitch. Like,
yeah,
you're going to end up hating a team because there's going to be a tightly contested game that happens in other sports all the time, and rivalries can be created that way as well. So it's going to be fun to watch what happens this weekend with Nashville SC at Nissan Stadium. Really excited to get that launched here in our city. When we come back, we're going to get back into the Preds, a gigantic win for them last night against the Calgary Flames. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Holsto Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.